Welcome back to The Deep Dive. I'm Larry Kamer. I've been trying to look beyond our present state of crisis and talk to people with insights about how the world is going to look and work and space itself until this virus is eradicated, which appears to be at least 2 years away. And I'm talking today with Stephen Miller, who founded his design studio, SMDS, in 1999. He provides interior design services to residential and hospitality projects. And frankly, I could think of no one with more interesting insights to talk to about the future of our physical spaces than you, Stephen Miller. So welcome to The Deep Dive.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
So Stephen, my theory is that until we can get better testing and vaccines, all we can really do is work with these pretty blunt instruments of sheltering and distancing, which we know are not sustainable over a long period of time. So my first question is, how do you expect that we are going to see these realities designed into our work and living spaces?
Well, I think there will be a tremendous impact on designers and people who design interiors for both commercial and residential spaces. Particularly, residential spaces, I think, are going to need to be adapted for a much heavier use with more people living at home and staying at home and sheltering at home, working from home, and then also just making better spaces that address the concerns of ergonomics and sound mitigation and all of that kind of stuff that people are going to be having to deal with, mm-hmm. and are going to be looking to designers to help them sort out.
I was looking at a website for the commercial real estate company, Cushman & Wakefield. And what they've done is they've transformed their Amsterdam headquarters into a post-coronavirus workplace-based office, right? With digital or directional signs and monitoring your cell phone to see where you move. You can check it out on YouTube. It's pretty interesting, but do you expect that this so-called six-foot office is going to be the norm once we get back to working in traditional office spaces?
I do. I think that there'll probably be efforts to address the number of people that are working in offices at any given time. There may be a shift towards, different teams or different groups that then are working in the office or working at home at a given time. And I think that it will be important for employers and people who are designing the spaces for these corporations to address the way that people move around the office and the way that people are stationed in the office as well. Since we don't know what the virus is caused by or how it is transferred, and we know a little bit, but not enough to know what we can and can't do. And so I think that we're all going to be erring on safety and distancing and these god-awful masks that we have to wear.
Do you think we'll ever go back to the kind of traditional office space as we knew it with, a lot of open plan, a lot of common meeting areas, maybe a few private offices, desks right next to each other? I mean, do you think that's going to look different forever?
What's interesting is that that isn't really the tradition. The tradition of the office space goes way further back, and the office space has really evolved to the open office in the most recent decades. And so I think that there are a lot of ways that people are working together and separately in the office space right now that are that have morphed to the way that they are now and that will continue to morph. I read a book recently by a pair of designers, a husband and wife team in San Francisco, their company is O&D, and I they've written a small book that is mainly for designers that are designing in the office space. That is, it's about the, it's called, I believe it's called 100 Ways to Work. And they've outlined what they see are the many, many variations of the way that we all work in offices together and individually. And they have identified these as options and ways to design the office to accommodate these different types of working situations. And it's really an interesting book, and it makes a lot of sense to imagine. I mean, probably out of these 100 ways, maybe 25% of them will be eliminated in this current era.
Yeah.
But there are many ways in which we are designing open offices to have little pods for private phone conversations and smaller areas that are more casual for working one-on-one, smaller areas that are working well for small groups or for presentation. Some are private, some are open, some are meant to be casual so that others can walk up and insert themselves in conversations. Some of them are clearly meant to signal privacy.
Yeah.
So I think that there are many different ways that that the offices have evolved, or that office design has evolved in the recent decades, and I think it'll continue to do so. And I think many of those will morph into new ways of seeing ways of creating safety and distance, and but also inspiring collaboration, but in ways that don't put us at risk.
Has this been something that clients are beginning to ask you to think about, designing space with distancing kind of as the norm?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, in the commercial work that I work in, it is important that, you know, I'm designing a winery right now, and gone are the days where we can line people up along a bar, or at least those days are suspended. So how do we design areas of a winery for tasting or interacting with someone who's perhaps teaching you about the way that the methods that they're making the wine without stacking people on top of each other? And I know that most wineries don't want to do that anyway, but it's going to involve smaller, more casual areas that are separated, and probably a turn towards making appointments rather than just walking in. All of those kinds of things work hand in hand, but those kinds of mitigation measures are certainly being looked at right now. And it's funny, I've seen photographs of fast food restaurants. You know, yesterday I heard the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, talking about the myriad of issues that are being faced by restaurants and bars, and that they're all so conditional, because some restaurants have furniture that's movable and some have furniture that's attached to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have furniture that's attached to the floor are putting, you know, blue tape lines around every other table to try to get people to sit separate from each other. And that's not going to last very long. And I think the design community is going to have to address that and create ways of separation that also look good and don't feel so temporal, and, you know, probably designing more for movable furniture and situations that are convertible.
Well, and let's take that, you know, to the next step, which is restaurants, you know, they're the ones that are fully dependent on a sit down dining room that are only going to be able to turn a half or a third of the number of tables as they were before. You know, they're already talking about restaurants being more, you know, being more available for takeout, delivery, ghost kitchens, food trucks, and that sort of thing. How does that kind of change enter into your thinking for the kind of restaurant of the future?
You know, it's still rather new. I think that designers all over the world are contemplating this right now, and there's some interesting studies going on, but the implementation, I think we've yet to see what designers are going to come up with, and I'm sure that there will be amazing solutions. Design always has a way of addressing programmatic needs and societal needs to implement new ways of looking at things and things that make it obvious what I'm supposed to do when I enter a space.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. A lot of what the way that we move through space is subconscious, and it's set up by designers that really understand the needs of a business and tell us through visual cues that are almost subliminal what we're supposed to do in those spaces. One of my favorite points of reference on that point is that when they were redesigning the JetBlue terminal at JFK, they hired David Rockwell's company, hired choreographers from Broadway to help them understand the way that people were moving through that space and the choreography of people in space.
Interesting.
And, you know, those kinds of things are really important right now, to look at the way we get visual cues and to look at the way that people in mass move through space and how to offer up spaces that allow for mitigation and distancing and not to mention, you know, healthy building sciences and well-ventilated spaces and outdoor spaces. I see a lot of restaurants, as I've driven up and down the valley, redoing their outdoor spaces right now.
Yeah. I read that there's a, I can't remember, it was Bratislava or some city in Eastern Europe, turned the entire downtown plaza into one big outdoor dining space, you know, with local restaurants providing the food. But, you know, they thought it was important. I mean, it was socially distanced and everything else, but they thought it was important that people at least be able to have the experience of seeing other people while they're, you know, while they're going out for a meal, even if they're sitting, you know, 8, 10, 12 feet apart from each other.
And that is, you know, as much as feeding ourselves for sustenance, we are a social being and we need to see other people. So I think it's interesting that so many cities are looking at open streets right now and limiting auto traffic so that streets are more open and available for people to walk and take their dogs out and ride bicycles and get exercise. And because in cities, it's not, you can't always find a country road to walk miles on. So,
yeah.
Or you rarely can find a country road.
Well, this brings us to kind of the next the next kind of space that a lot of us have become maybe a little too familiar with. And that is our residential spaces, which are, in the last few months, become for so many people workspaces, educational spaces, isolation spaces. I saw that MIT says that in April, the number of people working from home jumped tenfold. So what are you thinking about in terms of the implications of the home, the residence being taking on all these additional roles?
Yeah, I think that we need to have areas in the home that we can come together, but we also need to have multiple areas when possible that people can separate themselves to do the work that they need to do. I'm currently living, as you know, in a very small space with my spouse and canine companion. And
those are two different people, by the way. Two different beings, just for the record.
Two different animals. But we're vying for the most private space in our house, which is the bedroom, from time to time when either of us needs to get on a Zoom call or a work call. And I think that as we design the home in the future, we're going to need to address all kinds of issues around privacy and sound mitigation and other creature comforts, air and access to, if you're on a long Zoom call, sometimes you need to use the restroom while you're on that Zoom call. And so you'll want to be able to confidently pause your video, possibly excuse yourself for a moment and then come back to it without fear that someone's going to come in and, try to change their clothes and on camera or something like
well,
that.
Well, you read all these stories about what's going on Zoom. Somebody sent me a tweet. You probably saw it a couple of days ago of a guy on the phone. It's like, somebody on a Zoom call is recording it, and somebody else on the Zoom call is obviously in a bathroom because you hear the toilet flushing and you hear a door closing, and the guy's just talking. He's just talking all the way through it. I also, one of the other interesting things I noticed is that apparently the demand for things like lip injections and filler and Botox is going way up because people are having to look at themselves, which we don't usually do in a office meeting. We don't look at ourselves. We look at the other people. And people are not, right. People are not liking what they see, I guess.
God bless them.
So, Stephen, it would seem that one of the key parts of the travel and hospitality business that ought to be able to adapt are hotels, right? The hotels already have the ability to separate people and distance people. Obviously, the restaurants and bars will have to be redone. But Do you have any sense of what the hotel community is thinking about, or any ideas on what kind of the hotels in the next few years are gonna look like?
I don't really know where it's going. I think that it's going to be a combination of the way that they may have to stagger. In more crowded areas, they may have to stagger the check-in and check-out experience, so that there are fewer people in hallways. It's funny, most hotels that I go to, it feels like you rarely see people, other than in the lobby, you rarely see people in the hallways or in elevators. They seem to be already set up for the kind of distancing that is necessary in this era. I think that it's going to be probably looking at the same issues that I just mentioned about the residential design market, is looking at ways to perhaps have suites in hotels. I would imagine that when you're on a business trip, you may be working as much from your hotel room as you are with the people that you're visiting in a different city. You probably won't be spending all of your time working together with other people, and there will be concerns if you're traveling with other people. You're going to need to have a suite or a set of rooms that allow for the kind of distancing and separation for different phone calls, different activities that you do in the home.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I know that my wife and I, would like nothing more than to get out of our house and go check into a nice hotel and have somebody do the cooking and the cleaning, for us, and at least get a change of scenery. But I feel like that sentiment is probably going to help our local hotels in the short term, because as you say, they can adapt to obviously crowded bars and restaurants. They've got the same issues as everybody else, but in terms of the room space and the other spaces, they can probably more easily adapt.
Yeah, and I think that there will be some ramifications from people not wanting to cram themselves into airplanes to travel longer distances. There probably will be a great deal more of local travel, or, you know, semi-local travel, distances that we can travel in a vehicle to as you say, get a change of scenery.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to do this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And where can people learn more about your work and your business?
Well, my business, Stephen Miller Design Studio, as you call SMDS, we shorten it from time to time, is available at www.stephenmillerdesignstudio.com.
Stephen, thank you so much for being on The Deep Dive.
Thank you so much.